Welcome to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson, and I'm with two guys who like to put the lime in the coconut. Check it all out. Reverend Scott Henry, Reverend Darrell Kingswood.
Where does he come up with these things? I'll tell you
what. So quick on the draw, too.
Man alive. He got redneckified or something.
Go to sunburn. You got a sunburn on your head,
though, I did. I was out touring the Battle of Vicksburg Field.
Oh, really?
It was hot. Mississippi heat.
The South got burned there, too, didn't they?
They did, actually, eventually. Got.
That's what I'm
kind of starved out. Anyway, with us, also, let us not forget, the man who puts it all together, Nick.
Nick, how's it going there, Nick?
I'm sorry, what?
Which brings us to the third office of Christ. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about Christ as prophet and Christ as priest. Brings us to the third, Christ as king. And I believe, Reverend Henry, you had said, I think it was last week, about maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, how
kind of jumped ahead from the prophet to the king.
Well, I mean, that's just what you do.
That's what you do, huh?
But you were talking about how people often stop.
Wait a minute, is that what I do, or is that what we do?
No, that's what you do.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because I want to go back to some of the...
You have to do that, because this is the one office of Christ.
Right.
And if you're talking about Christ as a chief prophet and teacher, you're going to have to talk about him as our eternal king. And if you're talking about him as our eternal king, you're going to have to talk about him as our high priest. And if you're talking about him as our high priest, you're going to have to talk about him
as
our chief prophet. And it's going to interact that way. It's that, you know, we're not talking about separate offices anymore.
Right.
In the Old Testament, they're separate. They're one in Christ.
They are kept distinct.
And so, you know, each one helps us understand the other. Because it's a high priest who lays down his life, and it's the life of the king. And that's the life of our chief prophet and teacher.
Yeah, and it is interesting in the Old Covenant how there are three, as you said, the three distinct offices. And the king was not to be the prophet was not to be the priest, the king was not to be the priest, and so forth and so on.
No,
and
you get yourself in trouble if you start overlapping offices.
You might get leprosy if you do that.
Right.
Saul also offered the sacrifice, and he was condemned for doing that. So, but all of those offices are subsumed in Jesus Christ. He fulfills all of them. He is the prophet, priest, and king. And just touching back on the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and ever lives to make intercession for us. So let's talk about, for a moment, the redemption in Christ Jesus and how he redeems us. What are you guys doing over there?
Oh, we're just playing around here until you get done saying what you have to say.
Well, I'm done. I'll pass it over to you now.
All right, good enough. That's how it's done, Lee.
We'll have to
anyway. Have a drink there, Scott.
Oh.
All right. The listeners probably want to hear some more of what you have to say.
No, go ahead.
All right, well, we're talking about Christ as our eternal king. What were you saying?
We're talking a little bit about the redemption. Go back to the redemption. What does it mean that we are the redeemed?
We're the redeemed?
Yeah, that as the Catechism speaks up here, that by the one sacrifice of his body, the purpose of that sacrifice was to redeem us as those who are the loved gifts given to Christ by his Father.
Right.
And so what does it mean that we're redeemed?
He pays the price.
So the redemption is Christ pays what price?
The price for our sin that was owing, the debt that was ours.
And who did
that
he owe that
could
to?
Not pay. And that debt was owed to the Father.
So it's not a ransom theory.
Not a ransom theory in terms of the devil somehow.
Right.
And
a
ransom theory would have been Anselm, right? That came up with that.
Why don't you just briefly, just in case someone's not familiar, explain the ransom theory.
Well, the ransom theory was that the punishment, that Satan was the one who was owed the debt.
Yeah.
Satan is the one who had to be satisfied.
So that's where you get that heretical teaching that Christ went to hell, some physical place, to lead out those who were all lifelong
bondage. That is, if Satan is the one in charge in hell,
right,
and he's not.
Right.
Right, or the demons. Well, demons are tormenting people in hell. They're being tormented.
As Jonathan Edwards would say, what makes hell hell?
The very presence.
The presence of God.
The holy God.
Presence of God.
Yeah, that's
because
most
that's
terrifying
what
thought.
Don't want. Those who are in hell do not want God in any of their
woe
thinking.
Woe is me.
Right.
For I've seen the king.
When we speak of, biblically, when we speak of redemption, lutron, the Greek word, is to be purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be bought back. And Christ buys us, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood to become his own.
Who said that?
Who said what?
What you just said there.
Peter said that.
That's right.
Yeah, First Peter.
That's right.
He buys us with his precious blood. And recognizing that Christ purchases us, we become his.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now to serve him. And this goes back to what we were talking about, revealing to us the secret will of God. So, in other words, think about as this all meshes together, we can't know the secret counsel and will of God in the Scriptures apart from being redeemed, purchased by Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's where it begins. That's where our mind is opened up and given understanding of the Scriptures and the will of God by the working of the Spirit who resides in us. It all begins with redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It all begins with Christ purchasing us as his very own. And so as the imagery is given there, I like to go to the imagery of the Old Testament with Joseph. And Joseph was one who was sold into Egypt, to the Ishmaelite slave traders, then sold to Egypt, and then sold from a slave block. He was sold to Potiphar, and he was purchased. And as he was purchased by Potiphar, his sole responsibility was to do the bidding of his master in his home.
And he became Potiphar's property.
He did. That's what he, and notice that he was such a good steward that Potiphar didn't even care about anything that was going on except what he was going to eat.
That's because the Lord was with him.
The Lord was with him and blessed everything that he did.
Yeah,
but you know, think
about what
a shame. We go back to that imagery of Joseph. What a shame it is today of us as Christians who are, our master is in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and with the vocation and what we do and the time that we give to our employer, and would that reflect that we recognize that we're not our own, we belong to our faithful Savior?
Right. Would it?
Would the employer look at you and say, wow, you know, there's something different about this guy?
Right.
It ought to.
Because it's as unto the Lord.
It's unto the Lord. And as Joseph was laboring for Potiphar.
Not as a man pleaser.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to, but the point I was making is he was purchased and
yes.
he belonged to him. And that's what the Scriptures speak of us as the redeemed. We have been purchased by Jesus Christ. We belong to him to do his will, which is revealed to us. He purchases us and then reveals his will to us
mm-hmm.
and how to live, not to become a child in the house, but to live as a child in the house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's through his redemption. And so he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Not to be accepted or earn your acceptance, but because you are accepted.
Because we are accepted. We're made beloved in the beloved one, Jesus Christ, as Paul said in Ephesians.
So, and as our high priest, he lays down his life, right?
Right.
Purchases us
right.
to be his own possession. And this is where you're getting at as our eternal king now. As the catechism says, he governs us by his word and spirit.
Right.
And we
and
want to be governed. Preserves us in that redemption. Part of that role as king. Is that he preserves us.
Right, defends.
Defends and preserves us in the redemption that he's already obtained.
Let me get this clear here now. Are you guys saying this is all about Jesus?
Indeed.
Is that what you're saying?
That's
so
right.
Jesus plus nothing equals everything?
That's it. You can't rationalize that, can you?
But you know what? That sounds like it's good news.
It is great news.
And so it's a proclamation of that. It's a heralding.
It is.
Of what God has done.
God has done.
And his
Christ.
Eternal purpose.
His purpose.
And his will. Is that what we're talking
his
about?
Will.
And his secret counsel.
His secret counsel.
From before the foundation of the
before
world.
Before the foundation of the world.
And these blessings in Christ are bestowed upon those whom are chosen in Christ before
yeah.
the foundation
so what do you
of the
lack?
World. What do you mean, what
do
I
you
lack?
What are you lacking?
Everything.
Oh, you're lacking everything?
In myself, yeah.
No, in
Christ
Jesus.
Nothing.
Okay. So,
everything
it,
necessary.
Why is it that Christians go around today lamenting the fact that they need more?
Because they're materialistic. They bought it into the secularized
view. No, I mean,
even
it's not even thinking about getting the material things, but in the church, I need more. I need more blessing. I need more. I think the simple fact
We need
matters,
more. We need more of Jesus.
Well, I think what we need is we need to understand and appropriate what we have.
Exactly.
Because the grace of God is Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And we
it's
are
not a thing, is it?
No.
It's a
person.
It's a person.
And we are in him. And all the blessings accrue to us. They flow to us. Everything is ours in Jesus Christ. Paul says, the world, everything belongs to you.
Everything pertaining
to life and godliness, Peter said.
Yeah.
So what are you lacking? Why do we run around the landscape going to conference to conference to conference to conference, wanting more, needing more, thinking we're lacking something, trying to fill up? I think it's simply that we don't recognize... Well, let me give you an analogy. I read something one time of a man who was on a cruise ship. And on the cruise ship...
Princess Cruises?
Yeah, something like
okay.
that. So he's
Mediterranean? In the Mediterranean?
Hey, this is my story. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what? It'd be a good one if it was an Alaskan cruise. That's
all right,
a nice
that's Alaskan
okay,
cruise. All right. We'll use that.
Like
we'll
that. Like
by
that.
Pass
like
by
that.
You there over there.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So he's on this cruise. He's on this ship. And
he's by himself or with his wife?
He's by himself.
Okay. Can we make it a Viking cruise instead down a river?
Oh,
all right,
it's the
go
time
on.
For a break. Nick.
No, but if you don't hurry up, it's going to be. So if you would stop interrupting us, then we'd be off.
So okay. he's on this cruise ship, and he's picking his food out of the garbage. And one of his friends comes by and sees him over there and asks him, what are you doing? And he says, well, I can't afford to go into that fancy dining room.
Yeah, but it's all been paid for.
That's what he says. He says, do you have your ticket? And he says, yeah. And he says, give me your ticket. Pulled his ticket out of his pocket, and he showed him on the bottom there, all meals included. I think that's many in the Christian life today. We're digging around in the garbage can thinking that we can't afford this, but that's all been given to us in Christ Jesus.
All been paid for.
And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 1. Read Ephesians 1. All the blessings belong to us in Christ Jesus. Now appropriate that.
Blessed,
live out of that.
Blessed with every spiritual blessing
in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Just
state
as
of the
He
Spirit.
Chose us.
In Him.
Predestined
right.
us.
But we'll have to come back and talk more about that after the break.
All right, we're back. And I'm going to hand over to Lee now.
Well, we've been talking about Christ's King. About how all of the office is one office with the threefold aspect, prophet,
right.
priest, and king. Let me read from Psalm 2 just for a second here.
Kiss the Son.
But I was also going to start up there where it says in verse 6, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. That's the Father saying, I've set my king. And eventually it is where he declares, thou art my son, today I have begotten you. And in the end, it tells us, kiss the Son.
Right. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yep. And do so now, rather than the last day, when he'll be angry. He'll have nothing but his wrath.
Mm-hmm. So, we're handing over to Scott. We're going to continue our discussion here about Christ as our eternal King.
Absolutely.
As the one who governs us, as we're talking about.
And the one who makes intercession for us.
Well, that goes back to our high priest then.
Right, but
and
he makes
intercession
for us.
And so just we'll get this in context here. Two passages of Scripture then to begin
sure.
with, okay? First of all, you go to Romans chapter 8, just so the listeners have some biblical context and reference, where it talks about verse 33. Paul asks a question, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That has to do with Christ as our high priest, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, 2 Corinthians 5, we're talking about Christ as our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit. Here in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So that gives us a context of things that the Scripture says. Just two verses that speak to us of this is talking to us about Christ as our high priest, Christ as our king, that we are no longer to live for ourselves. That tells us that's what we did when we were in Adam. Now in Christ, and as we grow in our understanding of what it means to be in Christ, in union with Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, accepted in the Beloved, now we realize we're not our own, and we're not to live for ourselves. Now you wanted to go back to Scott just to discuss, to make intercession for us with the Father.
No, we'll move on there to the eternal King. Christ intercedes at the right hand of the Father for us, and he is our eternal King.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it, that I believe it's the Belgian Confession speaks of that Christ is our eternal King, and he could not be apart from his body,
right,
or without subjects,
right.
And so, there you go, is simply a declaration that Christ is the eternal King, has his people predestined from before the foundation of the world, always in the mind of God.
Yes.
There never was a time that we were not in the mind of God.
Right, and this goes back to his chief prophet and teacher, who fully reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God. And that secret counsel and will of God, by definition, because it is God's, is eternal.
Yeah, and this is what the writer of the Hebrews says, that he was, when was he slain? Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the
world.
So
this was already something that was a done deal in the mind of God. And what God is now doing is he's working out his secret will and his counsel in time. God is working out his plan. And what we are seeing revealed before us is God's plan, the eternal plan of God that was in his mind from all eternity. And so he's working it out. And Christ is our eternal King. Did you have...
Well, I was just going to mention another passage of Scripture that, in the context of 2 Timothy, Paul's admonishing Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel, this good news. And he defines it as... this way, as God being the one who saved us, God is the one who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but it's according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So that the listeners hear, this is what God says in his word. This is before time began. And it's not this kind of idea where God looked down the corridor of time and saw that these things were going to happen. And on the basis of seeing these things happen, based upon our free will, he ordained that they would happen. I mean, that's just nonsense. Just absolute nonsense. That is not the way it is, and that's what God knows. What God knows is not what he's seen going to happen. It's what he ordains to happen. And based upon his eternal knowledge, his eternal purpose, then he creates and brings to fruition his eternal purpose.
What was that text again you read there? 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And then I was going to read on. It was before time began, verse 10, but has now been revealed.
Read that again. Go back to that one verse that you read.
Who has saved us and called us?
Yeah, with the holy calling.
The holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose.
Yeah.
His grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Yeah, Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment
of
God.
Okay, so this is good, because
the correlation.
And the correlation, and right after what Paul says to Timothy, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, but has now been revealed to Titus, he said, by preaching.
Mm-hmm.
What is that preaching? What has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Right.
And how has he done that? But as our high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as the one who has purchased his body, he rules over it as king.
Yeah, that's
he governs it. And notice what the Catechism says, who governs us by his word and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not just governs us by his spirit.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are like that. You know, the spirit led me. You know, people say that to me. It's like, the Spirit led you. Can you give me a text? Because I don't know how the Spirit leads other than by the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it, feeling? Is it, you know, you wake up in the morning and got some thought and the Spirit leading? It's always the Word. Anytime I've been led by the Spirit brought God's Word to mind.
Yeah, it's like it's me and you sitting down having a conversation and talking. I'm talking to you and I'm telling you the things that are on my mind and my desires and all this. God has done the same thing for us, and he's done it in his Word. And this is all we need. I think what people in the Christian world are thinking is that we need more. We need more of God. We need more of his word. He needs to tell us more than what he's revealed.
Than what he has
us.
Revealed.
And we don't even know what he's revealed in his word. Most people don't even know what the Bible says anyway.
Well, that's because they don't like it.
Yeah,
these kind of things that we've been reading, you know, these things humble you.
So Christ has revealed himself. God has revealed himself in Christ as the Messiah, the Savior, the High Priest, and the sacrifice. And it's declared right there in the book of Genesis. We see this very clearly with Abraham again.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in John 8 that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. Yeah. What did he see? He saw the Mount Moriah, the substitutionary atonement.
Right, exactly.
That there was Isaac would not be sacrificed, but God would provide himself a ram, a lamb for the sacrifice.
Right.
And he replaces that, and Abraham saw that. He saw the coming one. He saw Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. Abraham rejoiced to see
my day. And Abraham knew that the basis of his relationship to God was not based upon the exercise of his free will, was
it? That's right.
Abraham knew that.
That's right. Because, well, he was asleep when God made the promise with him.
Right, and he was a pagan. He was called out from a pagan background, mm-hmm. right? What were they, moon worshippers, I think?
Right.
You know, so they're worshiping the moon, and he's
Chaldeans.
Called out. Right, and as you say, how do I know, Abraham, how do I know it's going to keep? Well, God falls asleep, he's told to divide the animals, then he falls asleep, and the smoking furnace passes through, and that's God, swearing on himself.
Yep. Let it be done to me,
Abraham,
what's done to these animals,
Abraham,
if I don't keep
Abraham,
my promise.
So and Abraham, you guys, no, it's God himself,
all by
himself.
It's a unilateral promise?
Unilateral, yes.
It's not something that Abraham has to do.
No, absolutely not.
God comes to him
based upon his own character.
He's sleeping, and God demonstrates that if to be done to his person what is done to these animals, that was the cutting of the covenant.
Right.
If he doesn't keep his promise.
Right. Which means the promise is kept.
It's kept.
It's kept.
Send him, take it to the bank.
And that's,
we can rely
on that.
See,
these are the things where we come down to, you're talking, and this we get on this little bit of a side issue, because this issue of God's absolute sovereign prerogative as he rules and reigns over all of his creation, how the Catechism explains our I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth,
mm-hmm.
that is just too offensive. That means that we're mere creatures. That means we are subject to God's sovereign will. That means that Genesis chapter 3 was a lie, and we're not God, and we're not the arbiters of truth.
Yeah, Satan was a liar.
Yeah, what you talking about? See, because we bought into that lie. When Adam fell, we fell, didn't he?
Right.
Didn't we? And we that's the nature we receive.
So in my fallen state, I want to be the captain of my own ship.
Now, I think
you want to be
described.
The captain of your soul.
But not only that.
Your fate.
But not only that. Here's how vicious it is. I want to be the captain of yours.
Yeah, but that's
not
be,
only
that's
mine.
Going to be tough, because I want to be captain of mine and yours too.
Well, we throw a mutiny here.
Wait a second.
Look, I think that it's really the end of the book of Judges pictures this very well. I think when it says repeats the phrase, there was no king, there were do right in our own eyes, and there was no king in the land of Israel. I don't think it's talking about King David. It's talking about they did not recognize the kingship of the Lord.
Of the Lord, exactly.
Well, they were their own kings, and what did that lead to?
We do what is right.
It led to rape, killing, murder, civil war. And that's what happens.
Well, that starts earlier when Israel laments that they wanted a king like all the nations around them, and Samuel cries, and the Lord tells Samuel, they haven't rejected you as being prophet, they've rejected me.
Although that's
as
later.
Is that later?
You said it was earlier. Later,
right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's they've rejected me as being king over them. So
that's right.
That's the point. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Whether
you want to get into a little chronological time dispute here, if you think all the books of the Bible are written chronologically and given to us,
anyway, we'll just let that go right now. Scott,
it's like Scott, the New Testament, right? We know they're all chronological.
Scott, now, Lee, what you don't understand is Scott makes those mistakes like that on purpose, so that we won't come under the delusion that he's perfect, because if he didn't, we would think he is.
Oh, no.
And therefore, he does that.
And I want to make a mention, you were talking about the side issues.
Yeah.
It's funny, side issues, the only place that it's rejected is when it comes to theology, right? But yet, if you have side to your burger, we all love the side dishes.
Oh, yeah, the more fries, the better.
And they're all nourishing. So, you know, absorb it.
Oh, yeah.
It
oh, no, exactly.
So getting to this
Did
eternal
king. Fries were nourishing?
He said fries are nourishing, but, you know.
Well,
he just said that.
Whatever.
So we know that
you
he's
lamented
a,
when you
he's
couldn't have your fries
zombie.
Today. So Christ is the eternal king. Notice that what Pilate asked Jesus about that.
Are you a
are
king?
You then a king? Yeah. And what did Jesus say? For this reason, I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I was born a king. I like what he tells Peter when he says, you know, about paying taxes. He says, so those the children of the kingdom, they're exempt, aren't they? But lest we offend them, go ahead and go throw your line in and catch a fish, and we find a drachma in there,
yeah,
go pay the taxes for me and you.
Yeah.
But those who are of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom, are exempt. Christ is the king. We're exempt in him.
Well, and that reminds me of a similar Christ was asked about paying taxes. Wish he would have said something else then, you know, because he basically said you have to pay him. But when he deals with the image, whose image is on that? Whose image is on you? I mean, that idea of ownership. And that's really what we rebel against. God's creator, right, and ownership of us. And when Christ rescues us, and when he redeems us, and when he ransoms us, he's rescuing us from ourselves and thinking that we're our own.
Right.
And we're not our own, and he redeems us back into a right relationship with the Lord. We're all in a relationship with the Lord. He brings us back into a right relationship.
And as Jesus said,
of reconciliation.
Whose image in the scriptures on this coin?
Caesar's.
Okay.
Render unto Caesar.
Render unto
Caesar
what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's.
Which means the
image
of God.
And we are
us.
The image in the inscription of
exactly.
God.
Exactly. It's a good thing you clarified. That was the point I was getting at, but that's why we're here, Scott. Because we work together. High five. Hey, don't leave me hanging.
We'll have to have more of this next week if you'll join us here on 660 KCRO.
We hope.